The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues, Etc., regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Coming up, our conversation with John Ensor on defending the pro-life position on the college campus. We're giving away a free copy of his new book that he's co-authored with Scott Klusendorf, Stand for Life. It's going to go to caller number 12 at 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. The 12th caller will receive the book Stand for Life, so call now. 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. For the remainder of this hour, we're going to be talking about the benediction in the Scriptures with Pastor John Fraser. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., George Conger joins us. We'll be talking about the Guardian's coverage of the Pope's resignation and another story about Christianity and yoga. Dr. Robert Sorensen joins us after that. Matthias the Apostle will be remembered this week, and we'll remember him on this Thursday afternoon as well. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us to remember the first century bishop and martyr Polycarp of Smyrna, and Dr. Alvin Schmidt will round off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., and we'll talk about this failure to pass a law banning violence against women in Afghanistan. In the meantime, it's the benediction in Scriptures. Pastor John Fraser is our guest. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in LaGrange, Kentucky, and author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Biblical Sanity for Benediction Madness. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
We have these cultural phrases that we use often, whether it's saying hello to somebody, saying goodbye to somebody, signing a birthday card, or even when someone sneezes, we say, God bless you, or bless you, or even sometimes just blessings. Is that what we mean when we're talking about a biblical benediction?
Yeah, I grew up in the South, and the phrase, bless your heart, is everywhere on people's speech. No, it's not the same thing. Various thoughts about the historical origins of people saying God bless you when someone sneezes, that kind of thing. But what we're talking about with the benediction is something very specific, because this one is ordained by God. It is it is spoken by God to the people through His called an ordained servant. And so it's a very different kind of thing than the wishing of saying God bless you when someone sneezes, or bless your heart, or blessings, those kinds of things. These are at best a wish that God would do that. The benediction is not a wish. It's a pronouncement of God's blessing that He has ordained.
Why is that distinction between the wish blessing that's so common in our culture, and the actual delivery of blessing that God gives in the benediction? Why is that distinction so important for us to make, especially in our modern cultural context?
Because it's the difference between our work and God's work. It's the difference between God's words and our words. What takes place in the divine service is and with the benediction and other points, is that we're actually hearing from God. In culture, there is no place to actually hear the clear voice of God spoken uniquely in the gospel in the culture anywhere. We may hear things in natural law. We may hear things God's hand of judgment in the world, but the unique voice of God spoken, speaking a blessing to His people, is only heard in the divine service. And so that marks it as something so distinct from other kinds of speech, from other things that are being said and done in the world around us.
We often speak of the benediction, and you deal with that in your article. What benediction are you talking about there?
Yeah, the benediction, it has to do with the structure of the divine service, and it comes at the end of the service where the people have received God's word, where they have received his gifts, where they have been recognized and have expressed who they are in Jesus Christ, and who they are in Jesus Christ has been spoken to them. And now this is the final sending of a blessing to them as they're sent out into the world, really sort of as a capstone for all of the service that they've just taken part in. And in our liturgy, in our Lutheran liturgy, historically it's two benedictions, both the exact words from Scripture. The most common one, the one from the divine service, is number 6. And, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then the other, which is sometimes called the lower benediction, is spoken in the non-communion services, the non-divine services, such as matins and vespers and evening prayer, and that's the benediction from 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In the number 6 one, that is often referred to as the benediction, just going through it, what do we learn about the nature of God's blessing, the nature of his people, and the nature of that benediction in that one?
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look at not just the words of the benediction itself, but how God hands it to Moses. Moses is not even permitted to speak this benediction. God gives Moses the words and tells Moses, "Moses, you give this to Aaron and his sons and have them speak to the people these words." And then, you know, he gives the benediction there, and then he says afterward, "And when they speak these words, I will put my name on the people, and I will bless them." There's several things that become clear from this. One is, this is not a benediction that God tasks anyone and everyone with to speak. That it is uniquely the task of his called and ordained servants. And, you know, when you look at who Aaron's sons were, and read later in Numbers some of the things that his sons did, Nadab and Abihu, and you look at what Aaron did in shortly after the Exodus, as Moses was receiving the law on Mount Sinai. These were some, you know, these were not always good and godly men, yet they were the ones who were tasked to speak this because they were the called and ordained servants of Christ, and so they are given this task. Also, it's clear that this is putting the name of God on the people. That this is the visible covenant people of God, the church that are named here with these words of benediction. We put the divine name on people through this. And it's also clear that this is not just a description. It's not just a wish that God would bless the people. It actually is a giving of the blessing. So we're not just describing something. Through these words, blessing is being spoken and given. The divine name is being put on the people.
Do you know of any place where God instructs his people to pronounce blessing on the unbelieving nations, on the pagan peoples? In other words, is this exclusively, at least in that Old Testament context, exclusively for his covenant people of the Old Testament?
It is. It is. When we speak strictly of this kind of a benediction, it is strictly for God's people. it is strictly for the assembly, for those gathered to receive God's blessing, those who belong to his kingdom. Now, there are other places in Scripture which speak of blessing the nations, which speak of blessing our enemies. So, for example, Christ in Luke 6 says to bless those who curse you. But this is something different than the benediction. This is something distinct from that. This is he goes on to further describe what he means when he says, do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. And so this is more of a command to be a blessing to others rather than pronounce God's divine name upon the people. Similarly, you know, we see the same kind of parallel, I think, in 2 Corinthians 13 as we do in Numbers 6. This is something for the people because it's the triune name that is placed on the people in 2 Corinthians 13, especially as they've assembled to hear St. Paul, the letter from St. Paul read publicly in the assembly. Here is St. Paul through this letter pronouncing the blessing upon them through the divine name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so there are other places in Scripture. You know, the disciples were sent out by Jesus to go into a house and say, peace be upon you. But even here, it's in the context of the people of Israel. And they come preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And if they are not able to receive that message, that peace is to return to them. Return the peace.
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the benediction in Scriptures. Pastor John Fraser is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, the 21st of February. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the benediction in the Scriptures on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor John Fraser is our guest. Pastor Fraser, one objection that I can imagine here because you're talking about the benediction, Old and New Testament, being for the people of God, especially in the Old Testament, the people of God in assembly, that covenant people. They're going to say, look, there was no way that Moses or Aaron could know whether every member of the assembly of Israel was really a true believer in the covenant. I mean, there are going to be people out there who either openly or secretly reject the covenant, and yet they still hear the benediction as well. So that means it can't possibly be for God's people only. This must be for the kind of general benediction that we could pronounce over anyone, everyone, or any circumstance.
Yeah, and when you consider also the audience of the Corinthian church and all that Paul has to say about that congregation, both in his first canonical letter and his second canonical letter, it's even more astounding that he can still call these people the people of God, the church. The saints, and yet also still show a clear distinction between them and the world. And so it doesn't become about what we can detect as we look at the hearts of each person, as we sort of assemble who we think the saints are. We look at who are Christ's people by the work that Christ has done. Who are those whom he has baptized? Who are those whom he has called to his table to receive his body and his blood? And that's who we are. That's who is to receive the benediction. And same in Israel. You know, the people who receive the benediction are those who have undergone the rites of the covenant. And belong visibly to those things, and so yeah, you know, in a divine service, you may have visitors there, you may have folks who do not believe, and yet a benediction is pronounced. But you know, if you have, and this shows that the benediction is not something standing alone, that it doesn't stand in isolation to the rest of the divine service, that if we have with law and gospel preaching made clear who believes and who trusts in the gospel as we preach to them and as we convict hearts with the word of God as Christ convicts, and then as the gospel is clear, and then as we welcome those to the table who belong to the table and have the boldness and love for those who do not belong to the table, to say, you do not belong at the table, it becomes clear in that moment who the benediction is for, even for those who fall under the voice of those words that are spoken. That the distinction between who belongs to the people of God and who does not becomes clear in that moment.
You mentioned the Trinitarian benediction that we derive from St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Walk through that, if you would, just piece by piece briefly, and tell us what we can note of both the benediction, its intended recipients, what it's saying of God in that one.
Yeah, the first, of course, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and then the communion of the Holy Spirit, so that the benediction is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being pronounced and being spoken, and it is for those who know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God, it is for those who know the love of God. The communion of the Holy Spirit, it's those who belong to the communion of the Holy Spirit. That benediction is for those that share in those blessings, and it is a continuation of those blessings. It's a furthering of those blessings in the life of the church and on the people that belong to the church.
How do you respond to someone who says, "Well, a refusal to speak those kinds of words to unbelievers or to people who believe in other gods is to withhold the possibility of grace or the love of God from them?"
Yeah, certainly in the divine service, that's not true at all. Where you've got the clear offer of the gospel as the only solution for the law that condemns them. And where that has been proclaimed, there is a free offer of God's grace to them. Where they have witnessed confession and absolution, those who confess their sin are forgiven and washed clean. That is a testimony to the grace that can be theirs in Jesus Christ. The supper, the crown of the divine service, where they witness forgiveness being given through the body, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is also a witness of the gospel and an offer of grace that calls them toward this to become the people of God and to receive these good gifts. The benediction doesn't stand alone in the divine service. There is an offer of grace, but there is also benefits and blessings that belong to the people who are in Jesus Christ that are theirs because they are in Jesus Christ. And so these things can become, to someone who watches, I wish that was mine. You know, I wish I could have that. I wish that belonged to me. And it can be a testimony in that regard, but it comes when the distinction is clear that these are blessings that are found only through faith in Jesus Christ.
How crucial, especially with regard to the Pauline version of that, how crucial is two things? One, that this is the Trinitarian name of God. There's no mistake about it. That this God is being proclaimed as distinct from all others. And that it ends with that crucial phrase, the communion of the Holy Spirit or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. How important are those two things in that blessing?
Yeah, so it, of course, marks this as something distinct for the Christian. It is Trinitarian. And so it is a Trinitarian blessing. It cannot be a blessing that pertains to all people. Choose your God, pick who you want to worship, and this blessing will be upon you. It's too specific. It's too clear. It is for those upon whom the Trinitarian name has been placed through their baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now this is the blessing in their life of through the Trinity. And the communion of the Holy Spirit is for the life of the church, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin. These things go together, and so for it to be for the communion of the Holy Spirit, for those in sharing in the communion of the Holy Spirit, it is something truly unique in that regard to the church and to the people of God who bear the Trinitarian name.
So we often have at the end of presidential speeches, God bless you or God bless America. Sometimes both. They'll say God bless you and God bless America. What if President Obama were to go to, say, a White House gathering of various religious leaders? He has them, maybe just for the observance of some kind of, cause. But he's got all sorts of religious leaders, all different religions there. President Obama is a professed Christian. I have no doubt of that. But what if instead of the end of his remarks saying God bless you and God bless America, which can kind of be construed to mean anything, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What would be wrong with that?
Well, we have to ask on what grounds he has to place the divine name on anyone, because this is not ours to tamper with. This is not ours to assign it where we see fit, where we determine. And so we have to then look at what are the parameters that God has given for the use of his holy name, for the pronouncement of his blessing. On what grounds do I have to say that God's saving blessing be upon someone? And so that access is only granted through the clear word of God, who establishes what are the boundaries and what are the parameters for the use of his divine name. And when you've got those who are not gathered under the triune name.
About 30 seconds here.
Confess the triune name. We cannot possibly use the divine name, the divine triune name, to pronounce a blessing upon them.
Pastor John Frazier is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in LaGrange, Kentucky. He's author of a recent blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Biblical Sanity for Benediction Madness. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. John, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. George Conger of GetReligion.org is going to join us for the first few minutes. We're going to talk about the Guardian's coverage of Pope Benedict's resignation. He says if you really want to look for anti-Catholic bias, you don't have to try very hard, especially when it comes to Britain's major news outlets. Dr. Robert Sorensen will be our guest. We'll remember Matthias the Apostle, who's being remembered by the Church this week. Also, first century bishop and martyr Polycarp of Smyrna with Pastor Heath Curtis. And we'll round everything off talking about two stories touching upon the issue of Islam, the failure to pass a law banning violence against women in Afghanistan and sexual violence against women in Egypt. Two related stories there touching upon Islam. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West, all in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. That comes up in 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.